going on?
What's cracking, man? How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Yeah, I was like, after 10 minutes, I was like, it's not happening. Let me go to the store.
Yeah, no, I could totally understand that. I mean, things happen. Do you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, can you?
Okay, yeah. So many things happen and so fast. I started an intense conversation with my girl, and then my mom called. And this is right. You sent the conversation started. You sent me the anchor thing,
Oh no.
and then my mom called. So it was just like, well, I'm here we are. Okay. And
Yeah, that's what I always give the benefit of the doubt. Like, it's like there's so much going on in people's lives that I
yeah.
just can't be like, this podcast is the most important thing ever. It's like, this podcast is a fun thing to do, but life is still happening at all times.
Yes.
So yeah, it's kind of crazy. Like, I don't know. Like, I think like some people have like an inflated, like, oh, this has to happen right when I say it happens, or all this other stuff. I was like, that's cool. I'm gonna go grab donuts.
And
Not a
good
big deal.
choice on you. I had a dream about a donut last night. It was like a maple donut. I was tearing
Oh
that
my God, that's like our favorite
motherfucker
donut. I got
up.
two maple Long Johns, two regular maples, and then some chocolate.
Whoa,
So,
whoa, whoa. I don't get it gay style now. No, just saying. I'm
oh
just saying, no, the
dude,
Long John's delicious. It's so soft and good. It's amazing. Won't lie.
you know, I am a donut snob. If it has
Oh.
like cream in it, I'm like, I don't want it. Get that
No,
shit.
cream? What the fuck? It
Get the
explodes in your mouth? Busting
yeah.
off?
The
No.
jelly donut's gross.
What
I
the
just
fuck
want the
even is
donut.
that? Is that straight up jelly? What is that filling?
It's fucking garbage is what it is. They're like, oh,
Yeah.
this we'll just put more sweet in it. Instead of making a better donut, we're gonna fill it full of garbage and you won't tell the difference.
Yeah, it's too much. There is like a lemon. There is a lemon custard that's kind of banging, but I can only have like one bite of that.
Oh yeah. No, I agree with you. That sounds, I don't know. I don't mind like the cheese Danish, but it's not trying to hide itself. It's not trying to trick
It
you.
is who
Yeah, it's like, hey,
it
in the middle of this is some sweet shit. You can eat around it. We don't give a fuck, but I'm here.
Yeah.
Yeah, that jelly donut, sometimes you bite into it, you're like, what is this? I hate when I don't know I'm about to bite into a jelly
Oh, you have like, oh, you motherfuckers didn't want to tell me? Everybody
donut.
in here. I got y'all on my list.
That's right.
Yelling at the whole office. Yeah,
Yep.
man.
Oh
Damn,
yeah.
we
So
haven't even talked since I went and got my car, bro. It's been a minute.
it has. I know. I have the one with me and Danny. I've yet to release. It's been so weird. Like every single time I start editing it, like something comes up and I have to go take care of it. It's like, okay. So it's like, and then after a while, Anchor will time out and it's like, oh, you lost your edits. It's like, well, fuck me. Thanks a lot, Anchor.
Yeah, that's some bullshit.
Yeah, so I don't know. You like, it's like, do I have to listen to this again? Not that I don't like, I hate listening to it.
No,
Like,
it's work. It's time.
it
It's
is.
time. Yes.
Yes, absolutely. It is
Is the
time. So,
wind is does the wind sound bad right now, or is it okay?
no, I can hear birds, but I don't mind the sound of birds. Some people are like, oh, I don't like the sound of birds. Like, it's too much. I'm like, I guess I'm weird, man. I like nature. I like going on hikes. I love the sound of birds.
No, like I think that maybe it's a chance that it sounded louder to them or something. So I don't
Yeah.
know. It didn't sound that loud. I don't know when they were really complaining about it. I heard the bird, but it wasn't like insane. It was just like doing its thing.
Yeah.
Thank God we're still hearing birds. You don't fucking see bees no more.
Oh
Man.
no, I we have a nest of bees.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I really want to buy a lot of acreage and just like not have any pesticides, chemical fertilizer, just grow like normal, natural like fauna and just have a bee farm like right in the middle of it.
Okay, that would be cool. My grandparents had a bee farm.
Yeah. I mean, all you got to do is just not poison them and they're fine.
Straight up honey from the backyard. That was my first time getting stung. We were hanging out in the back shit, and they stung my temple. So I didn't even have to eat dinner that night. It was kind of cool. I got stung right on the temple. So every time I chewed, it would hurt. And my grandma would be like, ah, you don't got to eat. So I got to play video games more. And it was actually the Lion King video game that was incredibly hard. Little deets about my life. That are worthless.
Ha 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 ha. That Lion King game on Super Nintendo, that thing was harder than you expected. Yeah.
They made it hard so that people couldn't beat it in the one blockbuster week that you have it. It did it on purpose.
Oh my goodness. I do forget about, like, as a kid, you couldn't just go buy a video game, but you could do a $3 rental.
Yes.
Yeah.
Beat it in that time. And you could beat the game. You just put your mind to it. You could beat the whole game in at one time. And then you cheated them, but they didn't want that.
Yeah.
Nah.
You used to get amped up on Mountain Dew. Like, Mountain Dew is like before energy drinks was the solid choice to stay up all night.
Well, there was not regulations on caffeine at that time. So it probably was hitting just as hard, though.
Oh yeah,
Splurge.
Splurge? There was another one that was like three times the caffeine.
I thought it was Surge or
something. Oh, Surge. Yeah,
Surge. Splurge is from Futurama, I think.
Yes. Surge was.
They should have called it Sarge. Yeah, that shit was intense. Bro.
I think one time when I was a kid, I think I had like a caffeine overdose. I was all fucking like tense and emotional, and I was like, "What's happening?" Like, because I was like my eighth one in like an hour.
That's too much, bro. But it was so easy to drink soda, bro. That shit hit the streets hard, man. I'm thinking when they start making pop, they started making it in the 60s. Well, I feel like they perfected it by the 80s and 90s.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like, soda was like, there was like no energy drinks. Like, you'd go to a Gatorade, you're like, meh, it's not that impressive. Yeah. Soda was.
It's crazy that they literally toned it down. It's been toned down. It started straight up cocaine in it. And then they were like, okay, we can't do that. And so we'll just put a bunch of sugar. And then, oh, caffeine we can put in it. Oh, all this other monosodium, blah, 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 blah. High fructose corn syrup. Just hilarious.
And then it's I learned recently caffeine doesn't really, like, give you energy. It just makes you not fatigued, not tired. So you're like, oh, I keep chugging this. I'll stay up, you know, like I'll be, you know, amped all night. But all you do is just can't sleep. And so you just like I just remember as a kid, just, yeah, doing exactly what you said, getting a game, Nintendo 64, renting GoldenEye, and you and your friends were going to play that game as much as possible.
Just fun. Good time in life. You didn't even know what you had at that moment.
You didn't. You had friends that were into all the exact same things as you. And yeah, it was like everything that that was important to you was also important to your friends.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like, that's kind of it's just a simple moment and it's awesome.
No, I feel that. Yeah. What do you want? We don't got Danny on here, but I got shit to talk about, you know?
Oh, yeah. You know what? Let's, I guess I'm probably going to keep everything that we've already talked about. But welcome to Redeeming Qualities, the podcast, and not how men speak, but how friends speak. And yeah, usually we have like a longer, like, vibe session to get going in a conversation.
This looks like we got into this shit fast. We just jumped into it.
It's been so long since we've talked. It really has been a minute. So, yeah. Well, so what do you got on your mind? What's going
on? Okay. I want to tell Danny's not even here. We had a fun ass time. I will talk about that after, but I can talk about the trip back. Should I talk about that? Should I save it when he gets there? Gets here?
Well, he talked about it.
Cool.
He called you a hangry bitch. I just want you to know that. He says, Mark gets hangry.
I do, but also from my point of view, the I was like, hey, let's try and hit the road as fast as possible so that we can get to places fast. I was trying to be on the road by 10. Fucking Danny comes and says, these dudes, they wake up slow as fuck. So then Danny was like, hey man, just how about you and me? Let's go eat. I bet you didn't tell you that. He was like, hey, how about just me and you come eat? And so then I'm like trying to wait. He was like, man, I can't get there until 10:40. So then they wake up and then they don't want to leave until we actually have to walk out of the place. So then we're not even eating until 11. So we didn't hit the road until noon, bro.
I was
hungry when I first woke up and they ate last night. Everyone ate dinner but me. So it's like, oh, am I a hangry bitch or all y'all just slow fucks and don't care, you know?
That's funny because, how do I say this nicely and not be like the shit talker? Danny is habitually late. like
right.
habitually. It's like, hey, we got podcast at 10. All right, we'll do, you know, start the podcast. Like, hey, Danny, where are you at? Like 10:15. Oh, I need 30 minutes. It's like, just tell us. So, yeah. No,
you could have said that before, and I would have planned. I would have went and got myself food. I would have snuck out around all the motherfuckers. And then they were like, we didn't eat. And then I see the garbage of food that they went and got last night. So it's like, you guys have food in your stomach. It was like, so like, yo, y'all are fuck with me. And I could just leave without you guys and go get food and then come back. And then I'll be calm. Let me do that. But they were like, no, don't leave us. It was like, okay, so that makes me a hangry bitch. Okay, cool. Whatever. besides all that, it was a fun ass trip. Motherfuckers were slow. Whatever, dude. It was fun. We didn't really stop and do shit that we could have done. Like, I wish we could have. But it's whatever. I know that I can go back up there. Fucking the sequoia trees are gorgeous. The ocean's beautiful. Dude, it was a cool drive.
Let's talk about that drive down the 10. Or I'm sorry.
One.
The one. Yeah. The highway one.
Absolutely phenomenal. I mean, like, it's humbling. First of all, you're going through the sequoia and it's those big ass trees, you know.
Did you take us the side trip to actually go through like the ones that's a tunnel and stuff?
No. See, so at the point that we were supposed to do that, now tell me if this is my fault. I went to sleep in the back seat. Okay, I woke up and we're right at the place where we can go see the trees. So I say, hey man, why don't we go get the trees? We drive past a whole bunch of shit, and they're like, oh, man, we need to get gas. So I'm like, okay, so can we make it in there? They'd be like, we could try. I look when we're finally going, because it's inside of a mountain. You have to go up.
Yeah.
Okay, you have to drive, and the gas light is on. So I'm like, we're driving up a mountain. Can we make it back, or are we about to be stuck now because you fucks didn't stop? I woke up. Is this my responsibility? We're all grown men. Why the fuck didn't you guys just put gas in the car? What the fuck is wrong with y'all? And I'm just like, they put it all on me. And they're like, man, you better be glad we got gas because that would have been your fault. And I'm like,
oh, man.
Oh, that's... I don't even need to.
You no, guys... no, I fully feel that that responsibility. Like sometimes, like we're just, I don't know, with just certain groups of people, like, and this is, I don't know, it's weird. Like with like your military friends, that's never a concern.
Exactly.
It's like, there's always like, hey, like, I don't know, like everybody I met in the military, it's like, hey, quarter tank, you fill up. You know, like a lot of like civilian friends and people like I know, they go to the E and that's their indication to fill up. I'm like, I don't like doing that. I don't like ever being at E. You know what I'm saying?
And there was like a pecking order thing going on in the car. So that's why there was like Marcus, I don't know if it's the new guy or I'm not going to be the bitch on this trip. So we're all going to talk shit. And I don't really think of things like that. So there was just a bunch of shit talking that was unnecessary as fuck, you know?
So the thing is you got really like you and Danny and then you and your friends. And the common place between Danny and them is you.
Me. So they're going to shit on me. Yeah.
That's going to make you like, just like, for example, when I brought Ramon on.
We all shit on you.
Exactly. So that bringing two groups together, you're always gonna get shit on.
But then we left Danny, and then they continued. They kept on, and then also not taking everything that was good that happened. They didn't give me props on everything bad that happened. They said it was my fault type shit. Okay, so I'm like, okay, cool. Like at this point,
yeah. That's all. That's also something that occurs, and you know, I'm not gonna edit this out. Constantly, Danny's like, "Hey, we need to fix the quality of the podcast. We need to fix the sound quality." Like, "Hey, maybe stop taking bong rips for 30 seconds while we're talking." I don't know. Maybe that's
a thing.
It's like we can't improve sound quality if we're, you know, like if not all of us take responsibility. I feel like it's a constant like.
Look, I tap pins. I'll admit that. Or I fiddle, and that's something that's very real. I totally admit that. But something, yeah.
What I was going to get to that is when someone else feels somebody has ownership of something, they blame that person. So you had ownership of the trip. So the good and the bad was on you. You were the person.
Bullshit.
That, exactly. Because if you plan it, you become the responsible party. And
but they also were saying no to the cool things I want to do. Dude, you know?
I hope you went to the mystery spot. I pray that you went to the mystery spot because that is so fun.
I didn't do it. We drove back. We didn't do anything cool.
That's sad. That's on them.
I'm like, hey, like, First off, I had two shows I could have done. They were like, man, let's just head back. I didn't even get to do stand up. You see what I'm saying? So now I'm like, okay, y'all are, you know, whatever. Hey, I just, so then I kind of felt that energy. I'll be honest. Now, this is before, wait, we didn't do that. Yeah. You add a new person in. I'm kind of a new person in their friendship circle, the newest. So, like, I felt like there was a little bit of that energy on the, you know what? We'll talk about this offline, but I'm just saying.
Also, this is something I did like in my second psychology class. There's a thing where a person will bring another person in. Mm-hmm. So like, let's like say there's a group of three friends and the friend number three brings the fourth one in. A lot of times that person will bring a person in to not be the weakest link of their group anymore.
Man. Well, look at that.
So that's it's like, let me pick on this person to show that I'm better than somebody. So it's a weird thing. So always be wary of the person that's bringing you into the friend group.
Wow. You the one that been going to the store, getting the, because you want to go through the haze factor. You want to go to him to go through, and you're like, actually, he's cooler. He doesn't have to do that. And then you're pissed.
Now you're bitter because of the stuff that you had to go through, but you don't realize you had to go through that stuff because you were you. And you're mad at this other person.
Yes. That's where you were. So whatever. Yeah. Interesting shit.
Well, that's, you know, I picked that up on that, especially when you come to a new unit, like people are like, hey, you got to do this. You got to do this. It's like, okay, cool. Show me where on paper. Show me, like, you know, I've always, like, you've known me, like, I need to see this document, this document, this document. And people get really upset. Like, no, this is just how it is. I'm like, well, you're probably wrong. So let me go to see these documents. And people get very frustrated when you don't have to go through the same hazing rituals. There's not the same expectation because you know how to plow through those things.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's very interesting too. And you know, like, I don't know. I just think that's like psychology. You know, sometimes you want to feel more important in your friend group, or they're bitter at you because they feel like you owe them something. Like, I brought you in, so you owe me something. You know what I'm saying? Yeah,
fuck all that, man.
Yeah, you know? It's like, yeah, it's I don't know, man. People have weird ownership over friendships
or think that it's worth more than what it is. Fuck that. But so that's that. Whatever. Cool. Get back, man. You know, I got booked like 5 times this week. Comedy is going kind of cool. I'll admit, I like did 5 shows, did good on each one. But I feel like I'm solidly booked in the city. You know, it feels like I'm heading in a direction. That's what I said, and it's cool.
Yeah. No, that sounds awesome, man. That feels like, I don't know. Like, I feel like I'm glad you're moving in a direction, because I feel completely opposite of you. I feel like I'm not moving in a direction. Hold up a second. As I was saying, but I feel stuck, but it's not stuck by any sort of any outside entity. It's just where I'm at.
Stuck by your own self?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, because I'm waiting to retire, so there's certain things I can't do till that's done.
Yeah.
I want, you know, I'm waiting to, you know, do certain things, but I'm waiting on, like, you know, to start full-time school. I want to mm-hmm. be full-time in school. I'm doing like mm-hmm. Ones and twosies. So I feel that like that process is going slow. And then I also feel like I need to help my wife with her career. And that way she can start taking opportunities that are, you know, financially great for all of us, and career opportunities that are just good for her career, but I can't because I got to be at work. And so I feel like there's 5 directions that I need to go, but I just can't because I'm just, you know, marking
stuck
time.
In the last part of this life. Past life. Your already mind is in another one. It's like, Jesus, the countdown.
Yeah, it is really bad, you know, and I've like done the math, you know, like kind of like, you know, out of 180 day deployment, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just think of my entire career as 180 days. Mm-hmm. I'm in the last 4 days of it.
Oh my goodness.
And it's just like, even though it's in months, obviously I got, you know, like 7 months left.
But still.
It just feels like, oh my God, I can't really get anything done. Just busy work. And the importance to me in my heart isn't there. Like, it's always like, you know what I'm saying? Like, this has a purpose. I'm going to be doing this in 1 year. This will help me here. And now it's not that, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, dude, I feel stuck in life, and it's a terrible feeling, because I know it's not on me. I'm still moving forward. I'm still doing the things I can, but it just weighs heavy on my heart. Like, I want to move.
Take a moment. Like, you're ending this way because you did it right. And now you're going into another good step, but it's just like time is, you can't do nothing about time. So yeah. You're like, I hope you release yourself from that, because, you know, you can put that all on you when it's like, it's something you can't control, man.
I know. I don't feel like it's on me. Like, mm-hmm. honestly, I'm happy. I just want, you know, like,
wanted to,
like,
get there.
The Adam Sandler remote control movie. I just want to fast forward.
Click. Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah.
And now I'm moving in my next part. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And I'm, like I said, I'm also tired of driving. Man, I'm so tired of driving.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Yeah. So that gets on me, too.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, I'm glad to just step moving forward, because, you know, I'm, like, term is, but, vicariously, I'm happy to see goals being met and getting to.
Yeah, I've been, wanting to get to the place where you could properly grind the way that you wanted to, right? Getting to the place where you can land so you can start doing the shit that you want to do is hard. Positioning yourself. Like, you gotta wait, and you gotta wait for this paper, or you gotta wait for housing, or you gotta wait to have a car, or you gotta wait to, like, whatever the fuck it was to stop you, like, forever. That shit is so frustrating. You finally get there, and then it's like, oh shit, I feel like I'm in the driver's seat right now. Well, what am I gonna do now? And that's still beyond that, there's still challenges in that. It's still like, oh shit, now I have to actually do all these things and do them well. You know,
that's the other scary part too. Like, exactly what you just said. It's like, as soon as I do it, I get, you know, full-time school, and I'm, you know, it's like, I'm ready for it, but it's like, I've got to be full-time school and full-time, you know, caretaker. And am I legitimately ready for both? And it's like, you know, to take on both. I feel like I have no problems with that, but I also feel like it's going to be a massive burden. And I know it's going to be stressful.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if, like, college kids without kids, you know, and, you know, if they have a lot to worry about just doing the classes, then I also have a lot more with, you know, a house, finances, you know, everything else. So, no, I know it's going to be tough.
Yeah.
I just can't wait to be there, though, too. It's like excitement and fear at the same time. It's like whatever that emotion is what's there.
I think you are filled and bursting at the seams, but you're about to go do it and bust out, and it's like oh shit, now it's real. I have to be a steward of this reality now. That's good, but this is where it's all made. And you know what I'm saying? I know you'll do fine, but like it's
yeah, it's weird telling all kinds of people all the time, like, hey, this is what I'm going to do for my career. And it's like, oh, yeah, like, I'm going to get to it as soon as I retire. And now it's kind of like I'm having
all that shit you've been talking.
Exactly.
Back it up now.
That's right. I have to back it up. That's what it is. I now have to back up.
The backing up time is here. And it's like, oh, the reality of that, you know, and like, it's good. It's good shit. This is a good, cool part of life. But it's like, also, it's scary. I hear my dad talking about my dad. You listened to that podcast where he said that, you know, he had to, my grandfather had to work as a post office person so that my grandmother can get her degree, you know, and like that it was super hard because he had to do both. He was sleeping, working two shifts, and all that type of stuff. It's like, yeah, that's the stuff that takes you, change your whole family's life.
No, honestly, like, that's been motivation, like helping my wife through her degree and letting that be the focus. And now that she's done before I'm out, dude, it is such a relief to know that I can act like that's a crazy, like, I don't have to get out and get a job immediately. Mm-hmm. I can get out and do school full time. So yeah, she's already kept up her end of the bargain. Now it's my turn to keep up my end. I mean, and we both have to work together towards these goals.
Yeah.
like, you can't be in a relationship where it's like you don't support that person's goal. You got,
how the hell could you be in that? How you couldn't be? You're tearing them away. Yes, yeah, but that happens.
You see it all the time. Like, you do? She, like, I talk to people like, oh, she's going to, you know, she's going to school for this. Like, she ain't gonna do shit with it. It's like,
wait, who says, like, that? People say that.
People say that about their spouses all the time.
Oh, their spouse. Oh,
yeah, and it's crazy to me. Or like, I don't think that she can pass. It's like,
whoa, why don't you, what the fuck, dude?
Dude, that, it's crazy. Like, you hear it. Like, you hear it all the time from people. Or,
and those are people with loser-ass mentalities that are, yes, with a spouse that may have a winner mentality, but they will keep that person back just by being around them with their energy.
Yeah, or they failed before. Like, hey, they failed this class, and like, nah, they can't do it. It's like, failing a class is not a measure of ability or inability. Now, failing a class four times. Now, I could agree with you.
Now,
you
know, our attitude and our shit is, you know, yeah, but you haven't taken, go back and, like, go and, man, there's that, like, I know there's people that do that, but hearing us talk about it right now, and then after talking about what you're talking about, it's just like, yeah, people really are fucked bad and don't, and shoot their own selves in the foot in their own families.
Yeah, that's right. I, you know, and it's, to me, it's always been like, you know, like 100% support for her and her career. And, you know, in a sense, it's kind of like her, I don't know, having the faith that we're going to be together, if that makes sense. Like, oh, we're going to be together for 50 years. So of course I want her to get these stuff done. So in 50 years, it's, you know, easy street. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, I do hear that.
But if you don't have that thought that you're going to be together forever, I don't think that you're going to be as supportive of every step.
Oh, I mean, yeah, it's like easier to put in a time and an effort investment into something that you know you're going to see it through.
Yeah,
exactly. But some people don't be like, no, I don't know how good this relationship is. I ain't going to invest my whole heart and soul into getting her doctored up so she could be with another nigga with a doctor now. Fuck all that.
Yeah,
I do think that. Yeah, that is the thing.
Yeah, people want to hold their spouses back because they're afraid of, if they, like, get further on, then that will make them less. And it's like, mm-hmm, dude, you have so little thought of this person, like, that she's only with you because she thinks she's slightly better than you. That's crazy. That's crazy thought.
Yeah, or you think that she thinks you're better than her. She knows, man.
Yeah.
She knows you're not shit, man.
I mean, I really, like, we don't get a shoot, like, you know, like, you go after them, you know, you put your shot out there, but if they reject you, that's it. You're done. That's the end, yes, of it. So they accept, yes, that. They accept you. They accept all of you. You know what I'm saying? So it's crazy to think that, I don't know, like, there's this thought, like, we are the only determination. Like, I got her. I did this. It's like,
you gotta continually keep getting her.
Yeah, there's another person involved in this. It's not just you in this relationship. This person also is part of that.
Like, making a choice every day.
Yeah. When you think, oh, I got her, she's also thinking, oh, I got you.
Right.
You guys both got each other. So, I mean, that was like,
you both walk into the bathroom after each other's shit.
Exactly. Exactly. Man. I don't know what that means.
How you gonna say exactly? That was a great yes and, but then what?
Yeah.
That was a yes and question mark. Exactly. Yeah. I don't know what the fuck that just meant.
Yeah. Well, yo, shit. It's something. Well, that was like a way. Toilet. Yeah.
No, that was like a, you know, we both see each other at our worst at some point, still choose each other again. You know. I've also been boxing, bro. I've been going to a boxing gym, man. And I don't know if I told you this, the gym that I go to, I'm going to say it. Denzel was there, man. Denzel was there. It was cool as fuck.
Nice.
Saw him. It was badass. And yeah, man, I'm learning how to box. It's really some cool shit. It's fucking the best conditioning ever. I'm sure MMA is way more intense, but like, it's fun. And I'm gonna be able to beat people up, bro. That's my only reason to do it.
yeah, I tell you, I do love, you know, like, martial, like, disciplines. Like, boxing's fun.
Yes.
I did like some some like ground fighting. I did a couple little jujitsu things, and it's fun. It mm-hmm. really is. I don't know. There's just something about it that's exciting. Like going on a 5 mile run isn't exciting. It's dread. But going into like, you know, I'm like, you don't get an adrenaline pump prior to stepping out on a jog, but you do. Like when you're getting warmed up, you're going through the motions, and like every motion you're going through, you're like, this is designed for me to fuck up this other person or me to fight right. this other person. So mm-hmm. you get really into the stretches. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like prior to like doing anything, like even like with, you know, McMap or Marine Corps Martial Arts Program, prior to anything like that, like I really, like I took the stretches seriously. I absolutely, you know, it, you take everything has a purpose instead of just like, oh, I got to stretch and going through the motions.
Yeah.
There's a whole mindset difference in that type of working out.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I think I really think everybody should do it.
I mean, honestly, it adds a whole new level of just overall healthiness to your body. And I feel like on a grounding, what is the self level? And I don't like even saying spirit or soul, because that's just overused, but just like you just feeling grounded for a second, like, oh, this is what my body feels like. Fuck. Beat the fuck down. I'm breathing. You know, that like meditative that, state that you can get into.
That feeling of not perceiving the pain for what it is, perceiving the pain as something more, like, hey, I know I'm hurting now, but I was able to stay in there. I was yes. able to do this. And it's a confident, it's an accomplishment in the pain yes. versus like, just did it and now it's done.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So I get exactly what you're saying. I would say saying it's spiritual isn't far off. Mm-hmm. I definitely feel like it's getting to feel something inner. During something like that's so physically demanding. And I've always thought that's amazing, like the physical demands. And I don't know if you remember this, like when you would go through McMap training or something very physically difficult,
mm-hmm.
afterwards they would always have like a conversation with you.
Yes.
Because like you're going to be more receptive to what's being said after the endorphins. You're going to be.
Oh, because you're aroused. So you can take in information more. That's some real shit. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you're also going to be able to relate it to what you've already gone through. And we respond better if we can relate to the situation. So you're like, hey, that guy beat the shit out of you, right? And like, you want to, you know, come back. Like, this is what happened to this guy. He was beating the shit. And the next time he came back and, you know, like he was able to, you know, charge a fucking machine gun nest by himself, even with all of these, you know, bullet wounds. And he, you know, won the Medal of Honor and all these different things. You feel like, oh shit, this is the purpose of this. I can relate. I feel like crap, but that person must have felt worse. And he was able to overcome. And now I should be able to overcome. So there was always that purpose to those type of training events and boot camp and through McMap and all these other things. So. I always thought that was cool. That
is some cool shit, actually. But it's also a mind fuck. Like, oh, let me tear your body to shreds and now put this information in the open space I just made.
It is mental conditioning at its finest. Yeah,
some shit. But, you know, they there's a this book, Contagious. It's about marketing and how to make things word of mouth marketing, right? And they have a formula for it. Okay. Well, one of them is like a story with another emotion, right? And they found like if like they put an ad in front of somebody after they just went for a jog, that person is more likely to click further or click to buy, get closer to buying than they would be if they were just sitting at a resting heart rate, you know, because you're excited and hyped up and your heart is racing more. And also you just have arousal, you're more likely. But the other way that you can get your heart racing is by making somebody laugh. So that's why they make a lot of things funny, because that gets somebody that same heart rate, the same bounce, gives you arousal. So then if you try and sell them something right after that, they're more likely to, you know, hey, that was great. Yes, I'll buy anything you fucking want right now.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's interesting that there's so much that we get manipulated in. It's not like you, like someone's manipulating Mark. They're manipulating the Homo sapien who is Mark.
Yes.
There's so much that we are not aware of. Like, we don't it's we don't really pay attention to ourselves. We don't really pay attention to our own responses. We don't pay attention to how something you know
is makes us feel, physically. Yes.
Yeah. I mean,
or emotionally.
Like today, like when like I texted you guys and no one had answered, I had a moment to choose how I was going to respond, and I was like, you know, and I sat there, I got contemplative, and I was like, you know what, I don't know what's going on over there, just let it be, and you know, hey, it's not the end of the world. Well, you know, go get donuts. And we can go do something, you know, I can, you know, we can do this another time. But I have known there's been times in my life, especially my younger life, where I wouldn't let that contemplative moment happen. Mm-hmm. I would just let my reaction happen because, and you know, that reaction is based off of experience, you know, and that was, you know, that was a lot of my issues in my young relationships was like, oh, this, you know, this chick, she's ignoring me and now I'm angry at her and now I'm going to be mad. And I don't, you know, it's not anything that this person actually did, it's my own choices to be mad. My own choices to let myself become mad.
Right.
About a situation. Yeah. So
you make a choice. You definitely make a choice. And some people sit in jail and they find out that they had a choice.
Yeah.
So bad. Some people sit in choice and say, you always have a choice, man. I was being reactive. You know, I have my ego and I think about, you know, I'm from the hood and there's respect and, you know, you can't. So I pulled my gun out, you know, now you're 20 years behind bars. Coming to that. Jesus.
Yeah. And that's the other thing too, is there's those social scripts. And it's very sad that like
the way that we perceive the way things should go because someone disrespects you. So now I got to fight them. Now I got to shoot them. Now I got to kill them. You know?
Yeah, and there's whole mindsets are a complete difference. Like, it's like, oh, this person said this to me. I want to fight him. And then there's another person like, hey, I'm a bitch. I'm going to leave you. See ya. And
right.
Then, you know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, that person's a little bitch. He didn't want to fight. It's like, that person's not going to be in jail in 5 years.
Thank you. And that person goes on with that ego of punking people, goes on and finally does something and then now they're the coolest dude in jail.
Yeah, that's what you don't want to be, is the coolest dude in jail.
There's a whole bunch of coolest guys, man. It's so fucked up. I think about all the talented, strong, funny motherfuckers that are locked up because that other side of their personality didn't let them. I'm thinking the funniest comedian is probably locked up. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah.
The best basketball player is probably locked up. The best rapper is probably in jail.
So kind of share, you know, a little, you know, canny jail time with, you know, with myself. I met a dude that was on the minor team for the Dodgers.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you know, this guy, I mean, you know, he's like 6'4", kind of a skinnier dude. And it was just like, you know, like, how'd you end up here? Like, and I guess the weird thing too was, I know this is going to sound terrible, but like being in jail, there's a lot of ugly people. Like I fit in because I'm kind of like, I got that fucking angry gorilla face.
Okay.
And so, but I was like, this dude looks like he could be a fucking model, right?
Uh-huh. Okay.
And I was like,
so you wanted to fuck him. Let's just say that you could just, no, wait, go ahead.
I'm going to tell you, I went gay for the stay.
You're like, how long I'm going to be here? All right. Well,
hey. I tell you, there's never been a time where I cried like I did when I was in jail. It was Jesus.
Like true weeping.
Yes. Like what happened? Why is my life this way? Anyways, moving on. That dude, like, he's just like, he had those choices where it's like, everything was great in his life.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, nah, I'm going to make a choice for my ego and my pride. And it was just like, dude, that's fucking sad.
Oh, and he did some murderous shit or boxing somebody or knocking somebody out?
No. He did some stuff where I guess, you know, the easiest way to say it is like, you know, he sold drugs based off like, you don't do this anymore.
He got caught up.
Yeah. He got with some people that were like,
you got the money for it now. Why don't you just, you think you're too smooth now? Cause you got a career going for you, little bitch.
He got himself into peer pressure. People saw that he was in a better place. Peer pressured him into doing something that, you know, like, and basically called on his, I guess, where he came from and his manhood and his pride of where he came from. And it was enough to make him make a bad decision. It's sad. It's very fucking sad.
Terrible.
Yeah. But yeah, and you know, another funny little story is because we were the same race group, that's the only reason I was able to talk to him, which was super fucking weird. Like, the racism in jail is so, like, you can talk to people, but you gotta, like, sit with certain people. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, and then the other, like, crazy part is, like, prison food was really bad. So it was like, I don't want to fucking eat this, but I can't give my food away.
Mm-hmm.
So if I gotta just, like, fucking crumple it in my mouth and just put it on the plate and just fucking throw it away. And, like, or I, you know, like, because there was a lot of just different things that I just, you had to learn. And you just, it was weird, like, sitting back and watching people. It was like watching fucking being around a bunch of tigers. And you're fucking like, what do I do to not get fucking attacked? It's crazy. So, anyways, that's a lot of personal shit I just let out there.
Hey, man, I mean, the racism in jail. I was, when I did my little weekend, I was walking upstairs. There's all these long ass hallways in Orange County. You're walking forever. And then, like, there's a fucking, there's this dude, this white dude. I think he had a swastika on his forehead. I'm not completely sure. That may be a detail I added, but he's like screaming in one of the cells. I'm walking past, he's screaming the N-word at me and just keeps pointing and yelling it. And I'm like, I have never met anybody like that.
Yeah.
Nobody. Where are y'all? You're here. Like, look, I know racism exists. That is the most racist thing that has ever happened to me, G, all in one bottle. Like, okay, there's a lot of, like, nice, like, side racism, like, haha, market, what about that extra tendon you got in your leg? Or oh, a lady grabbing a purse when she walks by, or, you know, a lady following me around the store. Okay, that's a little micro shit. That is the culmination of everything ever, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's insane.
And then you see something like so wild, like what you're saying. It's pretty crazy. Yeah, and then, you know, and then you're getting told like shit, like, hey, if shit pops off and you don't jump in, you're not gonna make it through the night. And you're like, what the fuck is my life? Like, you know what I'm saying?
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, like, you know, like one dude. You know, this guy was like a, he ended up like being with, like, so there was like four races. There was whites, there was blacks, there was the Mexicans from Mexico, and then there was, like, you know, the Mexicans.
American
from,
Mexicans.
Yeah. I don't know if it was the same situation that you saw, but it was like one of those things where it's like, hey, something might be going down. You know, the white guy's been popping off, and it's like, so just in case, you know, you need to know if it, you know, if it goes down, you need to be ready. And it was like, oh my goodness, this is not what I want. I want to get the fuck out of here. I'm like, and it's like, okay. And it's like, hopefully something doesn't pop off because I might die in my sleep. If it does, I'm going to fucking hang out in the back. So, yeah, crazy stuff.
Very, very scary. If shit doesn't pop off, you don't jump in, you're not going to make it through the night.
Yeah.
I think his name is Ali Sadiq. He tells this joke, talk about, like, hey, Mexican wearing boots. You ever heard that joke?
No.
Oh, man. He said, like, there was this whole thing that everybody was passing saying, hey, the Mexicans wearing boots, which they was wearing boots in the shower, which meant.
Oh, that meant they're going to fucking throw down.
Yes.
No, that was something that they talked about. Like, hey, you know, because you got flip-flops when you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, when you went in, so it's like first thing you need to get is yourself some shoes. It's like that, like that was like you need to get shoes. And woo! It's like, how long do you think I'm gonna be here?
that I need to change footwear? No, I'm gonna stay with the overnight shit. I'm out this bitch, nigga. Fuck that. I don't need to connect with the surface that much, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm slipping slide for this overnight session. I'm not going.
and then the slip and slides were bright orange too.
It's terrible, dude. I play basketball in my slippers. That's how
I play this weird baseball game in them. And I was like trying to run, like clack 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 clack. Like, you can hear
this,
like, snapping.
Oh, so there was this dude that was big as shit, and we were playing basketball, and I accidentally stepped on his sandal and made him fall slightly. Oh. And I'm just like, I M, I gave the most sincerest apology. He was like, hey, you good, G. And then we just went back to playing. But yeah. I stepped on the sand wall. That shit was hilarious, dude. Oh, shit.
That's funny. anyway, so Mexican wearing boots in the shower.
No, that was a good callback, man. Great.
Yeah, it's a wild. Yeah, so what was the joke exactly?
I don't know. I mean, it's a long story, pretty much. Oh, the basis of it is that, you know, you need to know that if they're doing that, they're going to be a riot, you know. But I can't. He tells long form stories, you know, that are hilarious.
Yeah, that's the thing too. Like, man, you brought up the racism. It's like, it's a real, like, in prison, like that's real racism. Like, it's crazy. Like, there's like a white guy that was, you know, in the military, and I was like, you know, like, kind of like, oh, you know, I saw the tattoos, and I was like, hey, you know, like, you know, who are you with, all this different stuff. And they're like, hey, it's cool, you know, we get it, you know, you're in the military with them, but you know, just kind of stick just with that guy, don't be gathering up in groups with them. It's like, okay, you know what I'm saying? Weird shit. Like, where normal human interactions can't exist.
Yes.
So, oh man, that's some funny stuff. So shit, what else? You said you've been doing a lot of shows. How, where you been doing shows at?
I did one downtown so there's Grand Central Market, which is just a big old food market. And they have a barbecue place. And so on the patio there, they set up a stage and have a really cool show. It's called Comedy Patio. Sick spot. Went there, did comedy, good ass crowd. It was fire.
So six spot means 6 p.m.?
No. Just like,
oh, it was a six spot. Oh, a six spot.
But it started. You think I'm trying to give you some slang? No.
Yeah, I was like, let me catch up on this comedian.
This comedy lingo. So yeah. Six spot, just to clarification. No. It was just a good spot. What else? I did my show on Wednesday. Thursday was that show. Friday, I did another spot at this little small, tiny ass club. But you know, I need to be more appreciative. It's a small ass club. Nobody really promoted, so there wasn't really a turnout. But honestly, that place has potential to be a cool spot. But I just think that the owner cares too much about herself getting on, so she books herself on every spot, on every show, which I think is disgusting. She books herself on every show, and like, she has a lot of followers, but I don't know. I don't want to say anything else about it. Whatever. So that's that. And then last night I had this comedy battle. So it was a show where you do stand up, and then the person right after you does stand up, and then you freestyle. Right, for some reason. So then I got to the finals because I got bars. It was fun. I mean, it was a good ass show. It was a packed backyard, and it was very easy. They were very weird. So that show last night was a black audience, mostly black women, some black dudes. I wouldn't call it hood, but it was black as hell. It was in Inglewood. And if I listen to this tape, they said that I did one of the best. But this tape says that they were not this could be a bombing at another place. But because it was here, it was a good set. And I don't know how to explain that. Like, maybe, I did.
Maybe yeah. People hold the laughter a little bit.
I think a lot of people were high. That was a thing. So they were like in a relaxed place. So the last I did get, the couple ones that were big were like out of like me going, like doing very well. But also, there was a lot of silence. There was a lot of silence and then some laughs. Other people didn't get no laughs. Some other people straight bombed, you know? So it's like, how do I say it? Like a tilted radar, a curve. It was like grading on a curve, you know? It was weird, man. They were like, dude, you were funny, man. But I listened to the tape and y'all are silent sometimes.
Yeah.
Well,
you know, that's the thing too. Like, I don't know, maybe it's like you get used to like the actual like laughs, but there's a lot of time, like I sit there and watch comedy and I don't laugh at all, but I smile the whole time. You know what I'm saying?
So there's different levels of the shit. That's so true.
So yeah. I've had like times, like when it's always my biggest indication of a comedy special is because I watch them by myself. If I laugh out loud by myself, that is 100% absolutely.
You're crushing.
Hilarious.
Yes. Yeah. You're crushing because yep.
Sometimes mm-hmm. when somebody's next to you and they're laughing, they put you
it
into
helps
that.
You.
Yeah. It puts you into that jovial mood. There's like some sort of energy that makes you laugh. But if you make me like, or I'm driving down the street, or even worse, if like I'm lifting weights and, you know, I'm listening to like a comedy set and I have to rack the weights because it's so fucking funny. Or I'm in
that's
a public place.
Shit.
Yeah, yeah,
that's good shit. Yeah.
And I like to listen to, I like to listen to comedy that way because it allows me to just focus on the comedy. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I don't get to just hear everything else. And I try to, especially because they do it. It's kind of, I don't want to say it's a laugh track. You know what I'm saying?
No, but some of these, a lot of these specials, they're putting laugh tracks on. Don't get
yeah,
that
they put a lot of people, they show you people having a good time. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I'm like, I'm not going to buy what's going on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm going to take it for myself. I'm just going to listen to the joke. And I like to like not watch the, watch a special. I'll put it on in the background too.
Yeah.
That way I can hear the jokes and it can be funnier. If it is really funny. So I don't go like, oh, I was manipulated. My homo sapien brain was manipulated by them throwing this person in the comedy, having a good time and slapping his knee. And
right.
Yeah. Or
it's false.
Exactly. Or you ever watch it with like somebody's laughing too hard? Like that's an overreaction. Why? Is
or they edit that in from some other time.
Yeah.
So I want to jump sides here. Not jump sides, but jump topics. What about you? What do you think about this swimming trans lady that comes in and gets herself to number one when she was 436 in men and takes the number one? You think that this is a death?
Oh, hold on. You just got quiet.
Yeah, I did because the truck, I wasn't going to be able to scream over that truck.
Okay.
Another guy pulling past too. Okay. No, two things. Do you think this is damaging to sports? One, to women's sports or possibly all sports? And do you think that men should have anything to say about it? Is it just a woman's matter? Those are my two questions to you.
Okay. So first, I think women should be in control of women's sports. That's number one.
Okay.
I think it should be based off of not a trans woman, women. Because a trans woman, regardless of what they feel, how we perceive them, and what society says they are, they were born a man. So that's not their determination in that sports arena. Because so regardless that any, and I don't care how early you think you were trans, any who was born a woman has had a longer experience as that. And that should be their determination.
Okay.
The second thing is, do I think it's I think it's damaging to women's sports. I don't think it's damaging to men's sports. It just clearly demonstrates the level difference in many sports between men and women.
It demonstrates the what?
The level difference between men's sports and women's sports. It gives you a clear appreciation for how well men do. This guy's 432nd. He's not even a fucking footnote. He's not even any thoughts on anybody, you know?
Yeah.
But him to come in and dominate shows that the top 100 are fucking, you know, like, you know, actually, so the top maybe 500 in men really have a very difficult competition. I think it's maybe the level of competition for maybe, how do I want to say this? I think there's a psychology in men that we feel like when I do this, everybody's going to love me. I don't know if that makes sense.
Say that again. Say that last part again.
I feel like in men's psychology, it's like once I accomplish this, people are going to love me. Once I do this, people are going to.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So I think, you know, like, I don't think, and, you know, and this is maybe not, maybe this is me stepping out on a limb and, you know, speaking outside. I don't really feel like women's sports, you have to feel like you need to win to be loved.
Yeah, they do. Everybody that achieves anything can collude. It's crazy because Whitney Cummings and Bobby Lee were talking about this for comedy, that they equate success in this as, financial stability, financial freedom, actually being accepting a certain adoration from people that maybe they didn't get from other things, you know, all the type of shit. So any people that's going for something, if you really, really that's on a public stage, yeah. I believe that there's a little bit of something that you're going after.
But the thing about this is the biggest difference is comedy, I don't think to me is a competition in the sense as, you know, like a foot race. You know, like a 100-meter dash, it's a metric. Like, oh, that person was funny and that person was funny. We don't look at 10 people running and go, that person was fast, that person was fast, that person was fast. We go, that person's the winner. We don't accept all 10 of them as the fucking fastest people on the planet. You know what I'm saying?
We don't.
And that's the thing. In comedy, you can look at like, oh, top 10 comedians. You don't over go, we're your top 10 fucking runners. You know what I'm saying?
But there is a level. There's a level to success, and it may not be in sports and reaching it, but it is like you made it on the stand-ups. You made it here. You're the outcoming comedian. You're the busting out person of this year. You know, you're the one that we've seen. And so like, I didn't mean to compare them side by side like that. I guess more it's like, I don't know. You just.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the same thing too. Like there's competition shows. Like,
yeah,
I'm a fucking sucker for competition show. I don't care if it's like
the British Bake Off,
Metal Shop Workers. What's up?
The British Bake Off.
The British Bake Off. I don't care what it is. You know, like the Fail Show. I love a competition show. And when you watch it, you're like, oh, that person should clearly be the winner. Like you watch it all the way through and you feel mad when somebody else wins because you felt like that person was better all the way through, right? Mm-hmm. That's what competition does. When I watch a comedy circuit, I don't go, oh, that guy was the funniest. I go, this person's joke here made me laugh. This person here made me laugh. I think that when you're in a purely competitive and the only goal is being first place, it's a different world than being successful in a career avenue. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like there's first place. Like, you know, I mean, maybe businesses are worried about first, second, third, maybe television shows or streaming platforms are worried about first, second, third. But within those shows, not every show is like, I need to be the best. This, like, I want to be what I want to be. I want to tell this story. You know what I'm saying? I think basing it, boiling it down to the metric of first, second, third, fourth, and fifth place is a lot different than being successful outside of that.
Okay.
So, I mean, like, for example, like me, my career, I'm going to retire. I definitely didn't get first place. You know what I'm saying? But my metric of getting retired, I've hit the pinnacle of what's considered success, retiring, right?
Okay.
But, you know, no one's going to be like, oh man, out of your boot camp class, 31, 37, you know, class of 2003, out of the 120 people there, you're 33rd. It doesn't, you know what I'm saying? Nowhere else.
Nobody's going to say that. Yeah.
Nowhere else does it work like that. So going back to the question of competitiveness, I do think that maybe in certain, you know, it's like there's certain mindsets like that are like that, but I feel like men have this desire, like, I don't know, like even me, like my own dreams were like, man, if I could just do this, if I could just win this tournament, this girl will go out with me. You know what I'm saying? Like back in like high school wrestling, or if I just do this, or I can do this, this person will like me more. You know what I'm saying? Very weird psychology of a teenage boy. And that's generally where these people come from, is the psychology of a teenage boy. And that stays through your career as a competitor of whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's I don't know what the word is. If I was to boil it down to something, it's a misplaced value on yourself.
Yeah.
That mm-hmm. you are not good enough unless you're first.
Right.
And I think there's a problem with that. Which I do believe drives a lot of these guys to seek a trans to be first place. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, you know, like, you know, that. I don't know what their reasons could be. You know, I don't know if it's because they want to be first, but I do think motherfuckers want to be first that bad, and they're not enough to cut their dick off. But I that is a whole thing. But I guess really, what?
I would like to find the statistics of trans men to female and the statistics of like
how many actually go through the surgery.
Yeah, well, like how many actually go through the surgery and how many of those are competitors?
Per capita of that, how many of them actually
Yeah, of that population. That would be a very interesting study.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
because if it was equal, then that like that is a very strong thing of like, okay, this is, you know, if it's equal among people who transition to trans female that do it in sports arenas as do it into civilian population, then you know, then you have a standard of why this is happening. But if you have an increased amount of competitors who do it, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That would be indicative of there is a larger psychological issue in that seeking of first place.
I don't think we're allowed to look into that. I don't think we're allowed to draw these studies. I don't think we're allowed to do anything because it becomes harmful science, you know? Well, to say, you know,
I don't think harmful science is a very interesting thing. I always put this as a, you know, fun little fact. Science didn't actually used to have like a lot of medical things didn't have an ethics committee to review a research avenue before. I can't remember when the ethics committee was put in there, but any medical research has to have an ethics committee review prior to actually doing it to be like, oh, ethically, this is going to be detrimental for a person. Not based off a lot of stuff, based off of opinion only.
Mm-hmm.
Which was why, you know, like people were like, well, why isn't there like a lot of people not able to not get the vaccine? Because the ethical thought of COVID vaccine was it is not ethical to keep a group of population from getting COVID because they could die. Mm. So that's like, you know, like, and that's an example of a very current ethical problem when it comes to that. So, you know, the reality of it, how many people were going to die? Not very many, but they're like, well, one is too many. That's an ethical issue. So this is where ethics gets into the way of science. And this is the science, like I said, the research and scientific method. The scientific method has no emotion. Science is observation, question, test, results, and then refine. So I think the problem is it's not harmful science. It's societal ethics is what we consider. What's the right thing? What is social media? What does the world think is the right thing to do? And people go off of popular opinion of what's right versus what is actually right or wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. You know, I get in my science tirades. I do love reading research papers.
Well, yeah. I mean, it would be like, what is this, who would we be hurting? You know,
exactly.
And that's what it is. And who would we be hurting? Like, I don't know. That is a question to be asked.
Yeah,
that's the question. I don't even think we get to ask that type of shit. Like, it doesn't even get me as a person. Maybe not as a scientist. We're talking about scientists, but like, I don't even get to be like, hey, is there a chance that maybe we're hurting women by not letting them have their own space? Is there a chance that maybe we should have a just biological born women in a physical? If we're doing anything physical, is that a thing? Is that too much to ask? Is that weird? And then also, as a man, should I give a fuck at all? Should I care? I don't know. If I had a woman that was in martial arts, if I had a daughter that was in martial arts, and then a teenage boy came and started beating the shit out of her, do I not have a thing? Am I being transphobic to say, hey, that's not right? What the hell?
Dude, that's a great scenario. Like, that to me is one of those things that is, once again, opinion-based, ethical-based. You know, what, like, for example, if we had a competition that was purely, like, it was co-ed and it was martially based, there would be public interest groups going, this is fucked up. These girls are getting the shit kicked out of them. And there's no, you know, like, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, the injuries that we would hear of those women going, that would keep coming back, fight, because they have heart. But yeah, the injuries would be like, oh yeah, this woman may not be able to have kids if she wants to later.
Yeah, the concussions that, you know, that was
come
given
on,
to the
she's getting brain damage.
Yeah,
not because of the bone density. Come on. Okay, so that there was a video that went viral of a lady saying she's videotaping. I don't know if she has a family member or something like that, but she was like, "This is gonna ruin women's sports. This is not right." And there's a dude sitting there, and he's like, "Well, you know what is wrong? Because she is a woman." And she's like, "Biologically, that is not a woman out there." And then she's like, "He's like, how do you know? Are you a biologist?" And she says, "I'm not a veterinarian, but I can see a dog. You know, I'm not a fucking astrophysicist, but I know what the fuck space is. You know." And so then that like whole thing, that conversation, everyone like had a video of it, and she was like, "This is gonna destroy women's sports. This is not good." And the dude was like using this verbiage and talking in this way that like was setting her up to like make a mistake and say something that's not politically correct so that they can jump down your throat and put labels on you, you know. And so when she was just, she was like, "Do you actually have a point, or are you just, do you just have things to say, you know?" And that's what I feel like sometimes. Like, it gets snarky. That's why I started filling people in with, I fill in the blank with whatever the fuck they would say. I say, whatever your reasons are, because I can't say it exactly the way you were, because you will correct me. Whatever your things are, that fill in the blank, whatever you think they are, this is what the reasons why we can't do that. And that makes it so that you cannot do a whole thing of like, no, actually, specifically, do you get what I'm saying there?
Well, there's a thing too where, like, your reasoning has to be justified by science and all these other things. What happened to that? Like, I don't like what I'm fucking witnessing.
Right. Why can't I do that?
Why can't that be a reason? To me, this looks fucking terrible.
Mm-hmm.
This looks like a teenage boy beating up a teenage girl.
Yeah.
Whatever the situation actually is, at an outside view, that is what I'm seeing.
Yes.
And it's like, well, that's actually a girl. Well, that has shoulders like a man, has an Adam's apple, has a fucking mustache. Basically, it looks like there's a teenage boy. You know, like, that was like, remember that there was like an Olympic athlete from like Africa, right?
Mm-hmm.
She shattered all kinds of fucking records. Mm-hmm. And it found out like she was like some different modality of chromosome. It wasn't XY, it was like X. And this person ended up being born with both, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And when she was young, they made a decision and they decided that she was going to be a girl, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And she grew up her life as a girl, and she went to compete in the Olympics and destroyed records. And then the Olympic committee went and reviewed her and they took away all of her shit, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
To me, that like on that whole situation was an absolute injustice, right? Because that person did nothing wrong, and they had never known, and that was their entire life. It's different later on than making a conscious decision and then continue to compete. Like, you have your feelings, you have your thoughts, you want to be this, but your feelings shouldn't infringe upon somebody else's rights.
Right.
And I think that's the problem, is that certain groups' feelings are more important than other groups' rights. I think that's a travesty.
Yeah. I follow this group on Reddit, and so already this conversation is starting stupid. So everything I say after this is dumb. But it's a group of supposedly all women talking about womanhood and their problems and shit like that and the situations. I sit there and listen just because it learns. I don't say anything. I just lurk and be like, wow, that's very interesting. Whoa, some of them are gnarly as fuck, okay? Like a lady that was a refugee in like Russia and like what the fuck she went through. Whoa, okay? So shit like that. So, this one lady was saying, "Hey, I just want to know, is there a space where just women can be, right?" And all these ladies started jumping down her throat saying, you know, what is womanhood or what makes somebody a woman? They started that conversation, right? Mm-hmm. And this was women and trans. So I like got to sit back and see how they communicate with each other.
Yikes.
And so one lady was saying, yeah, that's legitimate rhetoric of turf. You're being exclusionary to just this group of people and making it so that we can't be in spaces when we are socially women. So then they changed it from we are women and there is no biological to there's a biological woman and then there's socially a woman. And I was like, whoa, like, you know, so socially, what is your difference between you and I when there? And then a few weeks later, like 2 days ago, I saw this post and this girl, this trans girl said, oh my gosh, I've been taking hormones and I just got my first period pains. How do women live like this? Or how has this been life for some? How has this been life for women? Now, is that possible?
What's that?
To get period cramps as a trans woman?
That's, you know what? That's a very interesting thing, what you're saying, because the period is regulated by hormones.
Oh, okay.
So, so, for example, like, you know, like there's like DHA, progesterone, and all these different factors that basically indicate when to ovulate. And then once to slough off all the stuff, basically it sloshes out the inside linings where the egg sits and all these different things. So could that be replicated? Dude, that men can lactate. Like you can give enough different things that it forces men to lactate.
So it's possible. Even though you don't have fallopian tubes or a uterine wall or a uterus, you can have cramps in your mid stomach because you've taken enough hormones.
Or there could be something that's insidious going on because of what you're doing, and you're conflating that with period cramps.
You just have an ulcer growing, but you're saying it's period cramps, so yeah, something like that. Yeah,
you could, you know, there could be a cyst in there. There could be all kinds of different stuff. And like for example, you know, there's like other people, like, you know, your kidneys could be failing and you get flank pain, and that could, you know what I'm saying? Pain radiates and like most people, they don't even realize what's going on. So like, if you ask somebody where their stomach is, when I'm, you know, just out of curiosity, where would you point? Where do you think your stomach is? Like belly button,
belly button.
So actually go up where your rib cage is, your xiphoid process, that basically your sternum, that's where your stomach is. Moreover, it's like right next to your heart, right? Uh-huh. So if you're like, oh, you know, I'm having these pains in the stomach, people are like, that could be your large intestine.
That's your digestion issue, not your stomach.
Exactly. Yeah. The digestion where that is, and where women actually have those, you know, the fallopian tubes, it's a lot different than where we actually perceive stuff. Everybody, when I ask, like, where's your stomach? Everyone points at their belly button, which is incorrect. Definitely much higher up. So we don't even know our own internal organs. So the thought is that person may be experiencing that, but the reality is they should be at a doctor, fucking figure out what they're actually experiencing. Or if the doctors told them that, they better have ran tests to ensure that's what it was.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's, like I said, I'm not saying it's, you know, completely out of the norm, but dude, pain in your stomach, like, is like, if you go, hey, I have blood in my stool or blood in my poop, you've literally limited it to 1,000 different things. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's like blood in your poop. Like, what color is the blood? Oh, the blood is, you know, dark and stooly. All right. Now you limit it to 800 things. You get what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Stomach pain is such a poor indicator of what's actually going on. You have to run tests. So, yeah. So I don't know if that makes any more sense. That's why, like, and people are poor indicators of what the type of pain they're feeling. Cause, you know, like sharp stabbing pain to somebody could mean, feel like, this is a dull ache to somebody else. So it's also, we're bad. Much pain you've endured in your life. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So like, they're like, oh, this feels sharp and stabbing. It's like, well, if you lived a soft ass life, everything is sharp stabbing pain to you because you've lived a soft ass life. If you live like the, you know, that's Russian refugee, and you know, they like gone without food, they've dealt with hunger pains, they've dealt with these, you know, these different things, they understand different pains. They can be like, oh, this pain is not this type of pain, it's this type of pain. Just like, you know, like somebody work out, like, you know, like, you know, when you go weightlifting, you're like, oh no, I'm sore, I know what sore feels like, right?
Mm-hmm.
Compared to somebody else who's never done that and had to do something difficult and they've never worked out, they're like, oh my god, I'm in so much pain. Like, no, you're sore. That's a big difference. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think there's a lot to our society and our society's limited experience. America's experience is so fucking limited.
Yeah.
Like you look at like Africa and South America and Asia and how many people have experienced war compared to America and Canada and how many people have experienced war. It's very different populations amounts. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
So
and
like
your mindset is different from that after that. It's like, oh, yeah, that guy totally wanted a different thing for me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That whole group of people.
Yeah. And it's crazy too. Like you like so for example, you like see like you know, like areas in like you know, Asia that have experienced a lot of war and their thoughts on transgenders is a lot more liberal
open,
than us.
Huh?
Yeah. They're like, yeah. And then you look at other places like, you know, that have experienced war and they're like, you know, the Middle East and their thoughts on trans is a lot different and homosexuality. So, you know, just that provides stark contrast. You know, the human experience is just so vast. And, you know, I think us like, you know, arguing about like
whether they play in sports.
Well, no, whether trans women are actually women is fucking stupid because they're not. The biology has already proven that. You can force a lot of hormones in there. Now, the psychology
or where different. They should be in society.
Yeah, the psychology is different. Like I can't say that that person experiences aren't what they say they are. That's the beauty and the curse of psychology is you cannot accurately state.
Yeah, but that's more sociology, actually. That's sociology because actually psychology is just individual, right? So, no, I could never say something what's going on in your mind. But really what they're asking for is a socialized reaction, right? So it's more than one person. So they're saying, you, when I come and tell you something, you and you need to act this way when I tell you that. You see what I'm saying?
But what I'm saying is for psychology, you're right. It's individualized. But what we call is conglomerate data or aggregate data. 1,000 people who go through a transition, you take all of their experiences, you take quantitative and qualitative data, and then you look for trends within that data, and that's where they get an outcome.
You could still
take a number of people, individual, and aggregate that data.
Right, okay.
So, but what you're saying, sociology, yeah, absolutely. Social scripts, how society expects people to respond, that's 100% sociology, and I agree with that.
Yeah, and I mean more like in a there's studies, but I mean like more in a practical application of it, which is what they're asking for us to do is saying, hey, treat me like this, right? Socially, which I think they have a right to ask for that. You know what I'm saying? They have a right to ask for that. But those other two people that are in that situation, I don't know if I can say how those people should react with the respect of how other people's cultures are. Other people's psychologies, now that we're saying it.
Yeah. I think the problem, though, too, with that is we only accept the European-centric, American-centric, and Australian-centric, and we put those together, like, this is how the world
this is the
be.
West.
Because we're correct. Everyone else in the world's thoughts on something is wrong. So we don't take Asia, Russia, Africa, South America, Mexico. We don't take their viewpoints on sociology issues and say, hey, let's look at this and see what's correct. They're like, no, they're wrong. They're brown. They're dumb. They don't know what they're doing. We need to look at what white people think about stuff. And I know, I always sound so racist when it comes to this, but I always feel like there's a level of dismissiveness to people of color when it comes to sciences and not people of color in America. Like if you're an American, like if I was to do a research study here in America, there would be a level of a credibility to what I said. But if I was the same person in South America, I tried to do the same thing, like, South America, they don't know what they're doing.
Right.
So, yeah. I mean, I always feel like there's that as well. We only take a very limited of the human experience and be like, this is correct. Everything else is wrong.
I mean, that's what I do. There's been so many videos. Two things to say before I sound like a total asshole. There's been so many videos of white journalists saying, you know, the thing that's going, what's so rough about this war is that this is a sovereign nation. You know, this is a civilized place. You know, this isn't like Somalia or Haiti or other places. Literally
Jesus.
Saying that these are white Christian people. And so that's what makes this war so much worse than those other altercations. This is what people are saying. So then they ask an African dude, an African Congolese man that is in Ukraine, and he's getting interviewed by another black dude. And he's like, hey, you know, they said that we needed to become soldiers to fight for Ukraine. And then he like makes this face that's like he leans back and like with his eyes big, like, why do I need to fight for Ukraine? You know, like they've been being racist to us. I just happen to be able to be a student here, but it's racist here this whole time. Why do I need to fight? I'm from Congolese. I'm trying to get out of here, you know?
Yeah.
And then even the Ukrainian president says Peace Corps. They said, hey, if you're a Black Peace Corps person, beware, you may be called the N-word by these Ukrainian refugees. So just brush that off and continue to help. Yo!
What the fuck?
Yes, yes.
And I don't know. It's like, how often can you deal with that before you're frustrated and angry or retaliate? And it's not that person's fault, but it also is that person's fault. You know what I'm saying?
Man, you need to watch the new season of Atlanta. The fucking first episode is absolutely incredible. And the things that they say in the first seconds is the shit that we've talked about. And they do it in such a smooth way so quickly that it like blows your brain. And Sopranos level TV, bro. I'll say it. I'm going to say it right now.
Dude, Atlanta's been so good. Especially that one. Oh, my God. I can't remember what his name is.
Teddy Perkins?
He's the guy in Sorry to Bother You.
Oh, Lakeith Stanfield.
Yeah, what's his character's name?
Darius? I forget.
Oh, yeah, Darius. When Darius goes to that creepy place.
Teddy Perkins, yeah.
Yes, that's still my favorite episode.
So the first episode is eerie and weird, but eerie, weird, and surreal, but also grounding at the same time.
Okay.
It's that, dude. And now not as it's scary movie-esque, and then also goes into some reality shit, and then just takes, oh, bro! I'm about to go back in and watch that shit again.
Okay, that's awesome. No, I honestly God, like, I just, you know, like I said, like, I don't want to be angry. I don't want to be this. I don't want to, like be told, like, hey, you're smarter than you look. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to be told these different things. I hate that. I really do. Because it's like, God, it's insulting on very many levels. Like, you know, like, and it's like, how do I not accept it as a racist thing? You know what I'm saying?
Well, I like if a white person ever comes and starts lushing or like super nicely, you know, accepting me because they find out I'm smart and they're like doting over me. I used to like that shit. And then I started to be like, yeah, it's cool, man. You just assume that I was an idiot because of the color of my skin. And that's all cool. And you're like, no. And it's like, it's cool, man. And I smile and I'm like, it's all right, man. It's cool. I know some dumb niggas, but also not all of us are dumb. Or I don't even say that. I'd be like, it's cool, man. That's on you. You decide on whether, you know, what you did was wrong in the beginning. And I just keep on going.
No, that's a good way to, honestly, that's a very, I don't know, maybe teachable moment. Or like, yeah, exactly what you're saying. Like, oh man, you don't sound like most Mexicans. Like, well, that's because I'm American. You know, it's like one of those, you know, those different things. Like, well, that's your nationality. It's like, well, you're fucking stupid because nationality is American. Ethnicity would be Mexican. So you've already shown me you're dumb twice. So yeah, it's like it's these different things. I have a good friend. He has a stepfather. He's a military. He said that as a stepfather, and I was super nice. I was like, you know, this is my buddy. I'm like, well, my nationality is this. He's like, no, it isn't. It's like, I think you don't know what nationality means. And he's like, it's the nation you're from. I was like, I was born in Wyoming, so what nation would I be from? He's like, well, that's not what I mean. It's like, I know exactly. That's not what you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Conversation. It's like, mm-hmm. How are you getting mad for your ignorance?
Yeah.
And it's like, it's like, now if someone, you know, like in the same situation, because this was a white guy, it's like someone in the same situation. And if I was white and you said that, I was like, well, my nationality is actually, you know, German because I'm from Germany. They'd be like, oh, okay. Well, you know, that's okay.
Right. They would come at it from a wholly different thing. Yeah. Or what black is. But, dude, this is a great conversation, but I have to go
And I like how you give that teaser. Let me tell you what black is. All right, gotta go.
Yeah. No. Like, it's the culture, blah, blah, blah. I don't even want to get into it right now. Watch that first episode, and let's talk about this on the next episode. Damn. The next episode, okay?
I gotta tell you, though, I had a lot of fun. It's been forever since we fucking talked.
And, this is cool.
I'm sorry. Like, I've had busy weekends hanging out with family, doing all kinds of different things. But, yeah, this has been fucking great.
This was sick, man. Let's do this again.
Oh, and by the way, we never introduced ourselves. I'm hanging out with Mark, and tell people where they can find you.
Oh, you could give me on Rastafari Unicorn on Instagram, and my link in bio shows everything else I'm doing. So, yeah.
Excellent. I am, as always, Fez. You can find me here at the Redeeming Qualities Podcast. The podcast is not how men speak, but how friends speak. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, man.
Later.
Peace.